Hey there, everybody. I'm filmmaker, podcaster, California State Certified Violence Prevention Specialist, and podiatrist to the stars, Phil Lernes. And I've been proud to be a U.S. cultural correspondent for Alex Lefchuk's Midweek Drive program for many years now. And I congratulate you, dear listener, on having found this oasis of podcast audio magic in the cosmos, or on your internet-equipped mobile device, or your computer, or...
Yes, exactly. Anyway, the question is, will Phil Lernes actually make his own broadcasting studio? Would he not ask for advice? Would that be an American system? Apparently, in Britain, 17% of Brits are refusing to ask for advice when it comes to basic DIY, or indeed putting things together, or finishing tasks that people have been asked to complete, and so on and so forth. Now, to address this particular issue, we're delighted to be able to welcome the awesome actress, who is absolutely amazing in every sense of the word, the fabulous Jennifer Metcalf. How are you, Jennifer?
Oh, lovely thing to say at this time of the morning. Yes, I'm great, thank you. How are you?
Tis only right. Our very own BAFTA award-winning director, Graham Harper, I think, speaks fondly of his time on Hollyoaks when he was directing all sorts of things. So great stuff there. And, of course, the equally legendary, in his own way, as far as the joys of DIY is actually concerned, Stu. Good morning, Stu. How are you?
Good morning. I'm fine. Thank you very much.
Excellent. Okay. Jennifer, we can come to you. This particular survey, it's obviously not just us blokes who kind of say, all right, fine, I'm going to put up those shelves, come heck or high water, and I know how I'm going to do it.
No, it's not. I'm one of the 70% that actually refuse to ask. I'm a bit stubborn when it comes to anything, and especially DIY. I kind of like to think I could try it myself, and I fail miserably. That's why having the B&Q avatar that they're trialling to help me through, I had my eye Megan. She was with me from start to finish while I fitted my shelf, and I smashed it. I did a great job.
Well, not literally, hopefully. So it's a colloquialism. I don't know. I'm thinking about the international audience. Think, what? You've broken it all up from that point of view. Stu, Avatar sounds very much like a movie produced by James Cameron, who effectively sort of set up in terms of 3D. But obviously, we're talking about the 21st century technology. Is this the stage forward? I mean, are we looking for home improvement experts to effectively sort of be replaced in cyberspace, you know, by virtual Stu Hawkins?
I wouldn't say replaced. It's more of a kind of a way to help people out, to give people the advice that they need in a bit more of a real time. It can be a little bit daunting when you're going through a project and you're not quite too sure of what you want to do or how you're going to do it. So being able to kind of get a little bit of a live feed on somebody who knows what they're on about can really kind of help.
Jennifer, you strike me as somebody who can obviously focus on the whole process, etc. Was it a particular challenge to say, I'm going to have to ask for assistance on this particular one? Or do you think, no, let's collaborate?
No, it was. It was because over a quarter of people, they won't ask for advice because they're too embarrassed. Mm. And one in five are too proud to ask. I think I'm a bit of both, to be honest. So to actually bite the bullet and say, go on then, help me. But I'm so glad I did. Megan helped me from start to finish, and she was there in real time to give me real advice. And I were really proud of what I did.
Well, you see, clearly the demand will now be for synthespians around the world to effectively sort of have genuine Jennifer Metcalfs providing advice and various other things. Like, don't do that, do that, do that.
Yeah, I don't think I'm qualified for that just yet.
Stu, how bespoke can this actually be? Because clearly folk can actually go on YouTube. You can actually look at how to do it from that point of view. Is this something which, in terms of B&Q, you're looking at ways in which that development, of course, with the orange apron, and where would we be without the orange apron, can actually sort of help with home improvement aspects?
I think it kind of will help. With things like the YouTube videos, it gives you that little bit of a chance to have an actual look and understand kind of your project you're working through a little bit more. I suppose... where people get a little bit embarrassed kind of asking for help, they don't want to turn to mom and dad and things like that. It's a little bit of an easier way to kind of just have that little bit of interaction.
Jennifer, what is it about human beings that sometimes prevents us from asking for advice? Is it just pride? Is that at the heart of it? Is it a case of stubbornness?
I mean, maybe just a little embarrassed, feeling like they can do it. And like I said, a little bit too proud to ask, and maybe feel like they're imposing on somebody to ask. But I think the with B&Q experimenting with these avatars, I think it's really good because you've got the sort of
the actual professionalism that's actually there slot into place.
Yeah, you get that, but you can do it from the comfort of your own home, and you don't have to go physically ask someone. So you get the best of both worlds.
So, I mean, when you were using this, was it on a mobile device? Was it a pad device that you actually had? I mean, just sort of technologically, how much did you I mean, I've just got visions
of
you.
A laptop.
It was a laptop.
Yeah,
because I had visions of you kind of holding one sort of pad up in one hand with
the hammer
in the other. Thinking, just that could be a disaster in
That's
every sense of the
word. That's why the avatar's fab, because it holds the iPad up and even had a little B&Q apron on it as well.
There you go. So, Stu, what's the best way to actually follow through this? I mean, people are listening to this thinking, great, this is exactly what I need. It's, you know, time to actually sort of put those shelves up, sort that whole process through, unpack the flat pack furniture and so on. What's the best way forward to find out more about these B&Q avatars?
So with the bank holiday weekend coming up, we have got a colleague takeover on Facebook and Twitter. So it gives people the chance to ask real-time questions and get real responses from people like myself and others within B&Q. There's also DIY.com where we have got a lot of YouTube videos that people are able to kind of have a little bit of a look at too. Mm.
And Jennifer, is this the way forward? I mean, what's the next challenge? I mean, are you already sort of saying, right, fine, you know, I've sorted out this particular aspect, now I'm going to actually build a whole house?
Yeah, well, maybe not go that far, but my boyfriend's actually doing his house up, and there's no better than the bank holiday weekend, I don't think, because everyone gets that extra day, the Monday, B&Q will be full, so we'll be heading there ourselves and doing a bit of home improvements on his house.
Well, allowing for the fact that I think most injuries tend to occur at home.
Uh-oh.
And if we're returning back to Graham Harper, obviously he spent a lot of time with Casualty and a whole range of other factors. It's only a TV series. I think fantastic stuff from that point of view. Jennifer Metcalf, it's been fantastic sharing some thoughts with you, good self, and Stu Hawkins, of course, ace home improvement expert. Have you both had a reasonably interesting and safe and hopefully, you know, avatar-free telephonic interview with us today? Has it been okay for you guys?
It's been lovely speaking to you.
Absolutely brilliant. Thank
Excellent.
You very much.
Well, hopefully we'll connect again and hopefully see what the next stage is, because clearly do the next sort of stage is clearly to get an avatar that will actually do the work for you. Because that's, you know, I mean, that obviously if B&Q can get that sorted out, then I think it'll be a result all round. Take care now.
Thank you.
Quite right too, and don't panic, we've already had one bank holiday, the next one will be somewhere around about December, I believe.
Hello, this is Claire Balding and you're listening to the Midweek Drive on Siren FM.
Thank you, Claire. Obviously doing your duties at present at Burley, and hopefully we'll connect with Claire and others, of course, at the Burley International Horse Trials. But now, Annie Sample, it's very exciting because we welcome back to the Midweek Drive and Midweek Drive Morning Edition an actress who, in her oeuvre, goes from Dorothy L. Sayers Mysteries, through the Cuckoo Sister, through Letty, through the Chinese Detective, through the Birthday Circle, through the Angel, Don Quixote. It can only be whom?
Rosemary Smith.
Yay!
Hi, Rosemary.
Sherlock guy.
We want to know about Benedict.
Benedict Cumberbatch.
You've got to tell us, what's he like?
Oh, he's very nice.
Oh.
So is Martin.
Oh, I bet they're lovely.
They are.
Tell us
when you have one on one side and one on the other.
Oh, I would like that.
Steady, Ellie. So here we have a scandal in Belgravia in which, Rosemary, you were married woman.
That was one of the best ones.
No, they keep changing the name, guys, don't they? the money keeps coming in, though. It's really good.
That's, well, you see, that's what we like about jobbing actors, you see. It's always in the residuals, repeat fees. It's the important sort of side of things. Excellent stuff. Plus, I always preferred his mum, Wanda Ventum, of course, who was in UFO.
I'm starting a horror film on Saturday.
Oh,
well.
Sounds scary.
Excellent.
Well,
ready?
Yeah, it's got a good script.
Oh, what can you tell us anything about it, Rosemary?
It's called Dogged.
Oh, is it like a really scary horror film? Because I don't like the really, really scary ones. I like the sort of a little bit scary ones.
I think this should be really, really good. It's a bit like The Woman in Black meets
That's
the
my favourite. I love The Woman in Black. I think it's really great, especially because it's got the gentleman from Harry Potter. Daniel Radcliffe.
Radcliffe.
Now, he's nice.
He's brilliant. So are you starring across from any other A-listers then?
No, I'm not starring in it, guys. But
are.
He wanted to see me for the two main leading females, and I said I'm not right for these. But he's written a character especially for me.
And by who? Who is he, Rosemary? It's going to be shameless plug.
He's Richard Roundtree.
There we are. Not connected, of course, with the Richard Roundtree who I think plays Shaft, did he not?
Oh, I was thinking of Roundtree's fruit pastels.
That as well, of course.
That's probably because I'm on a diet and I'm starving all of the time.
Oh, yes.
Now, what about you guys? What are you up to?
Oh, well, we're trying to do a radio show at present, Rosemary.
But we're not very good.
Fine. Ellie, please.
Oh, sorry. Alex is really fantastic.
Hello, who are you?
Celebrating the delights of Lincoln's first community radio station in so many delightful ways. Ellie Sample, of course, Director of Communications and Marketing and Events
Development.
And Development at the University of Lincoln. And Ellie, as we were just saying on your Twitter feed, you've also just established a scholarship in the name of your mother-in-law.
I have. Very sadly, my mother-in-law passed away about 3 months ago. She was very young and she lost a short battle with cancer, and she was a wonderful woman. She did everything for everyone else. She was always giving to charity. She'd go to the school every week and she'd do reading with the children. And there was one time about 20 years ago when a stranger knocked on her door and said, "Oh, I followed you back from the shops." And she didn't slam the door in his face. She was, "Oh, yes." And he said, "I'm going through a tough time right now and I wondered if you would look after my children." And he left his two young children with her, I think were about 4 and 6. And she looked after them for nearly a year until he came back. And she was just a wonderful woman who was really generous and very kind and did a huge amount of good for other people. And so I've set up this scholarship and it aims to support a student coming into university who would otherwise be unable to attend, because she would have loved that. She was a big believer in transformation and in helping other people.
So Mrs. Wendy Bagley, who presumably will be listening to us now via Heaven FM.
she will be. She wouldn't let me hear without her.
Spot on stuff there. Meanwhile, John Wenham, with his events diary, has also put together a range of wonderful activities, including on Saturday, the 10th of September, at the Westgate Water Tower in Westgate, Lincoln, part of Heritage Open Day 2016, a rare chance to see inside a century-old water tower which still serves uphill Lincoln today. Westgate Water Tower unlocked from 10 a.m. until 4 p.m. Free entry on Saturday, the 10th of September.
That sounds slightly dangerous, Alex.
It does, actually, hasn't it? Yeah. Possibly you might like to check out St. Mary Lilla Wigford's Church in Lincoln on Saturday, also the 10th of September, at 12 noon and 2:30 p.m. The Lincoln Heritage Music Festival. Actually, Rosemary is part of the singers that actually helped with the Globe Restoration Project that was put together. Were you not, Rosemary? Who sort of?
I was. Yeah. Shakespeare's Globe Madrigal Singers. We went around the world sort of raising money.
Wow, you are so talented.
This is why she's going to be hopefully staying with us after the news from the Sky News Centre for a few moments, in which we'll be talking about catering and customers and recipes and so on and so forth. Rosemary, are you happy to stay online and stick with us here on Siren and the Midweek Drive Morning Edition for a few more moments?
I'm very happy to stay, Alexius.
Hurrah!
Hooray! Hooray!
You got it on the side, a little one night thing. This is Siren FM.
Excellent. Well, today, highs of 20 degrees centigrade, lows of 15 degrees centigrade, and it's going to be a dry and largely pleasant sunny day.
Prime ministers and presidents may come and go, but the certainty of exemplary entertainment on the Midweek Drive and Midweek Drive Morning Editions remains.
Very important that we keep the standard up, Ellie, really, on that perspective.
I know.
As Rosemary goes back to when we used to have a broom cupboard in South London in Dulwich, when we did various other bits and pieces there. And even then, prime ministers were coming and going, so were presidents. But we still kept the standard going, didn't we not, Rosemary?
Yeah. And don't forget lovely Samantha Bond.
Well, exactly. Both Samantha Bonds, of course. Samantha Bond, who went on to be Miss Moneypenny, amongst a whole variety of other bits and pieces. And Samantha Bond, who also became a modelling agent because she was also from Australia. Actually, it's very confusing. It's like Rosemary Smiths. There are so many Rosemary Smiths around, but only one Rosemary Smith, who, of course, has effectively done the Sherlock scenario, which is critical. So onwards. In a few moments, we'll be speaking to Saturday Kitchen and celebrity master chef judge Cyrus Toddiwala OBE. Rosemary, are you a keen chef? Do you like to sort of create material, recipes and so on? Are those recipes things you've collected together over the years? Or is it a case of, no, I have somebody to do that for me?
I'm afraid my thing is lack of time. But I do like cooking, because yesterday I was very proud, Alexis. I now have an allotment, right? And I had a great big basket of potatoes, which I grew. And yesterday I made a nice shepherd's pie with those lovely potatoes.
Wow, that sounds tasty.
Well, awesome. Yeah, they tasted okay, guys. They're not bad.
There's nothing better than eating food that you've grown yourself.
And my beans, I've got... I just wish you were around the corner, I'd give you some beans, guys.
Oh, that would be so nice.
I mean, we're only 130 miles away. It's a quick hop. I mean, get out the helicopter, for goodness sakes. Yeah.
But I have to say, I am on a preservative-free food diet at the moment. I don't know if you've tried that, Rosemary.
So, no, I haven't.
So your food...
But I think it's good. I mean, I do look at labels to check what's in them, because sometimes, you know, we think, oh, something says low fat, but then you find it's got loads of sugar in it or some nasty thing lurking.
Yeah, some awful sweetener that
And
will...
as we frequently said, sugar is the new nicotine.
No, sugar's good. Sugar's good now. Apparently raw sugar, brown sugar is good. Yeah. It's sweeteners that are really, really bad because they won't go out... Brown sugar will leave your system within 2 hours. Sweeteners, apparently, I'm not a professional, so please don't take this as a given.
Ellie always likes to think of the legal aspects. It's wonderful.
Just
great stuff. Yeah, yeah,
but sweeteners won't leave your system for up to 8 weeks. So I'm trying to convince everyone, don't touch sweeteners.
And they does that mean you're better off with the full Coke rather than the...
Definitely.
You know,
Coke at all, to be absolutely honest, whether it's powder or otherwise. Just to say no, for goodness sakes. Anyway.
That could be the new saying, just say no.
I think we've been there before, have we not? You know, there wasn't the Grange Hill back in the 1980s. I actually used that as a classic line.
If you want your liver to last a long, long time, it should be just water. Sorry, everyone.
Nothing wrong with hydrogen and oxygen bonded together with the hydrogen bonds to form two hydrogen atoms to every single oxygen atom in a molecule of H2O.
You know everything. That's fantastic.
No.
You can tell we're in a university and one of the top 10 leading universities in the whole of the UK, you should know.
Oh, I think that's wonderful, guys. I love Lincoln.
Lincoln is loved by everyone. In the National Student Survey, the National Student Satisfaction Survey, we were placed in the top 10 out of 128 league table universities for overall student satisfaction. People love it here.
Does that mean you're up there with like Oxford and Cambridge?
Well, we're actually better than Oxford and Cambridge because in some areas we are number one. So in some areas we beat them. So zoology, transport and travel, design, biochemistry and animal science, we are number one in the UK, which is fantastic. So
that is fantastic, guys.
I think
there are very good things up north.
People don't realise that if you want something really good, you should come up north. It's a fantastic place to be.
Melvin Bragg's just started a whole series, although Melvin would actually classify us as being southerners, obviously being a kind of Cumbrian person. It's his way. It's okay. And you can find out all sorts of wonderful details by simply using that wonderful World Wide Web as Tim Berners-Lee would wish it to be used by going to lincoln.ac.uk, and you'll find all sorts of wonderful things there, including, obviously, the delights of Director of Communications, Development and Marketing at the University of Lincoln, Ellie Sample.
Hooray! Come and visit. Come to an open day. Come and meet us.
That sounds great.
We're friendly as well. We're northern and we're friendly.
Well, the northern and friendly. Friendly and northern.
I can vouch for that, guys. As you know, I used to live in Scarborough.
Exactly. It's the friendliest place in the world, isn't it? Apparently.
Definitely.
Lincoln allegedly, I saw this on Facebook last night. I don't know if you saw this, Alex. It was voted the second happiest city or something to live. Did you see that yesterday?
I was so astounded, I probably just sort of passed me by, but yes, it's amazing. Good
That's
times.
Why you guys are always laughing.
I know.
Well, you know, Donald Trump on one side of the Atlantic, you know, Vladimir Putin on the other. We don't know where we're going here. This is global domination still.
Just make sure you don't build that wall.
We wouldn't pay for it anyway. Anyway, that's by the by. There we are. Interesting, in terms of dogged, is it dogged or dogged? Because it's interesting. Did you put the emphasis on the E? Is it? I mean, you should put this to Mr. Rowntree. Is it dogged or dogged?
I think it's dogged.
All right. The Wicker Man meets, what was the other one you
mentioned?
Woman in Black. Extraordinary. Is there any kind of immolation there with fireworks entailed and such like?
I don't know. My friend in Canada found it online and got very excited. And he said, oh, look, you're on the cast list.
Yeah, it's what actors do, you could have responded. You know, we do emerge on that base. It's wonderful.
But no, he likes horror films as well, you see. So it was in Star Wars. There's a quick one.
When you act in a horror film, is it scary?
I think sometimes it is scary, yes.
Depends on the director, Rosemary.
You're absolutely right, but it depends if you're having a gun sort of pointing in your direction or not, and you think, yeah, I'm sure that's got blanks in it, I'm fine.
Oh my goodness, I wouldn't like
or
that.
Or a knife that's about to cut your throat.
Oh dear, yeah. You see, these are things which you just have to... It's grand guignol, and the whole sort of essence of that. Professor Richard Hand, one of our sort of fine folk, is actually moving to the University of East Anglia from the University of South Wales. He's the go-to person for that. Anyway, Ellie, would you like to put those last two questions to Rosemary Smith, please?
I would. Have you had a reasonably nice time with us today, please, Rosemary?
I've had a wonderful time with you guys.
Oh,
you know I love Lincoln and I love the North. I'm coming back.
Come back to the university. We'd love to have you. And will you come back to us next week, actually?
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah, we could go next week. Will she return? That's the bottom
line. That's the key thing.
No, I would love to return, guys. I go back to my teaching next week. But, yeah, I'd love to return.
Okay, well, maybe in a couple of weeks. That'd be super.
So. Yeah, I mean, could actually sort of cut to Rosemary in the middle of her teaching, actually. That could be a sort of fun thing. Yeah, put a line somewhere. Existential and otherwise. Rosemary Smith, take care now.
Thanks, guys.
When all my dreams are scattered to the wind, I'll begin again, and you're the reason why. When all my friends no longer know my name and say I'm not the same, I know that I'll get by. As long as there's you at the end of every hall, end of it all, at the end of it all.
The Partridge Family with David Cassidy, As Long As There's You. It's coming around to 12 and a half minutes past 9 o'clock on Siren FM, Midweek Drive Morning Edition. It's the wonderful Squabble Box at 11 o'clock this morning with Kai and Maisie, and then another wonderful Peter Hayward Drive Time between 5 and 7, followed just after 7 o'clock by Sound and Country Vision with Tessa Snart, Camo from Nashville, and, as we also mentioned, the wonderful Jess from Jess and the Bandits. Still in the studio, we've got the wonderful Director of Communications Development and Marketing at the University of Lincoln. That would be the wonderful Ellie Sample.
Hello, Alex. Good to be here.
And coming up very, very shortly, we'll be talking to Saturday Kitchen and Celebrity Master Chef Judge Cyrus Todiwala OBE and his wife Pervin. Absolutely anxious to try those cold puddings, peace puddings, saveloy and so on. Well, the key thing, of course, as we've been discussing so far on the show, is are you rejecting social media in favour of traditional hand-me-down recipes? To address this and basically discuss a whole range of other fascinating scenarios that are coming through, we're delighted to be able to welcome the ace celebrity master chef judge and extraordinary chef, the legendary Cyrus Todiwala OBE and his wife Pervin. Good morning. How are you both?
Good morning.
Excellent. Also in the studio, we've got Ellie Sample, who's very excited, Ellie, because I think you've already noted that Cyrus has also cooked for Her Majesty the Queen.
I have, and for the Taj Hotels in India, which do the best food in the whole world.
Thank you.
Well, you see, Cyrus Tadiwala, the best food in the entire world.
In the universe, I might actually say.
Exactly.
No pressure. I'm levitating.
We always think levitating interviewees very good. It takes us to a hard routine. Cyrus, this particular survey that's obviously come across from Red Tractor Lamb and the survey within that social media, your Twitter, your Pinterest, your pictures and so on, ultimately you cannot beat traditional recipes that are handed down through the family.
You cannot, because even me, every time we are back home in India, I'm asking people for recipes from their homes. So even as a chef, we are always quizzing other chefs or other family members, or particularly women, because in Indian cooking, women hold sway, actually, to all the secrets. Mm. And they hide them in the little saris, I think, you know, and very gradually release them to us.
Is this true, Pervin, that you actually have a whole range of recipes there that you kind of release, you know, whenever you feel it's appropriate?
He keeps quizzing, and he keeps quizzing my mom, mm-hmm. who is there, and Cyrus has got a book, which is from his grandmother, and there are some recipes which he has managed to get them translated out, and he look at it, and of course there are different recipes, but it noticed that you had a lot of lamb keema when he was looking through it, and we do so many. My mom used to cook a lot of that as well, so I think I have got the love for cooking from my mother, who used to cook all the time.
Put it this way, whenever I used to get stuck on something, I would still dial mom and dad. Dad was a great cook too, and ask for some tricks. But in terms of the keema, which is the most important element in our lives as well, is simply because keema or lamb mince, because when a family of a larger family, when this question about being frugal and about being stretching your budgets, mince does the best thing possible for a budget, because it allows you to stretch half a kilo of meat, which is minced down, to feed six people. Mm. Whereas if you were to do a chunk of meat, you would not be able to get through three people.
Remember actually as a child going with, I used to love going to the market, and Dad used to take me to the market with him, because I used to love going there. And we used to go there, and how he used to get his lamb mince was very interesting. He would first get the whole shoulder cleaned and then get it done. And when I used to see it, I used to say, Dad, it's so little. How are we all going to eat? Because we were five of us. And he says, you watch what your mother does with it now. And so that was really interesting.
Or did you have a fascination for those butchers?
I don't know about that.
Steady, Cyrus, steady. That's a different show entirely. We separate them. Whole fire a wee bit on that. Anyway, we've just been speaking, of course, to Rosemary Smith, who is delighted that using her allotment to recipes, she created her own cooking scenario. We've got students coming back to Lincoln, obviously, in a few weeks' time at the university and so on. I mean, this makes perfect sense, doesn't it, in terms of the
absolutely
use of that?
There's nothing easier for students to cook than good old lamb mince.
Can you tell us a little bit about Misty Lao Bhaji? Because I have to say that's my favourite dish in the whole world. And is that easy to cook?
Could you repeat that?
Misty Lao Bhaji. Is that...
Lal Bhaji?
Yes. Misty Lao.
The red...
Lal Bhaji, the red Bhaji.
With pumpkin. Is that right? Have I made that
I'm
up?
I'm very confused now, Ellie.
Have I confused?
At the moment, because...
Misty Lal Bhaji.
Yes.
Lal Bhaji, exactly. But I don't know about pumpkin.
Well, pumpkin is kaddu or bhopla or pumpkin or whatever. Pumpkin and lamb mince.
Yeah.
Actually make a super combination.
Yeah. Oh, that sounds delightful.
They make a super combination. Right now, all the pumpkins are coming out ripe, because British pumpkins are all over the place. And lamb mince is easily available. And for a student, to cook lamb mince with pumpkin is so much nutrition and so easy to put together.
How would you put it together then? What would you advise our students to do?
Okay, simple things. If you had a little bit of spices in your house, for example, so cumin, coriander, turmeric powders, or chili powder as well. Blend all four of them in a bit of water. Mm-hmm. Mix it into the lamb. You cut pieces of pumpkin. It is as simple as it goes, instead of getting any complication.
Mm-hmm.
And you put it in a pot and you mix it in gently. Don't allow the lamb to coagulate. You put a bit more water inside and let it cook for a few minutes, and you'll get a lovely sauce with it. what they have to do then, they have a choice. They can either cook some pasta and mix it inside, mm-hmm. or they can cook some rice and mix rice into the mince, which is even tastier.
Wow.
Or for a student, if they boil rice, for example, the excess water goes into cooking the lamb mince.
Agreed.
Yeah.
You know, so there is so much nutrition there without any wastage.
Yes.
And actually, mince is the minimum wastage, and it's so easy to store again. Because if you don't finish it, just put it in a lid, cool it down, chill it in the fridge. The next day, you can make a jacket potato with it, or you can bake it, you can put some cheese on it, you can do a million things with it.
Mm.
And there are a lot of recipes, Ellie. I think they have some a website, www.simplylamb.co.uk/chemo,
which is indeed a wonderful way of actually accessing that.
Chemo is the king.
Yeah,
and actually speaking, I'd love to know more about that red bhaji, if you can let me know later.
Yeah, really. We will get that sorted through.
We'll
set Ellie on the case. We'll get that coordinated. I mean, it's been fascinating. I mean, I just think
Email me. I'll sort it out. But right now we talk about chemo, and we talk about the great quality of British chemo, actually.
Yeah, yeah.
And the standard, actually. That's what we should actually emphasize, that people should buy British, because the Red Tractor brand or the logo is there to ensure that the best quality of meat is processed and produced in our country.
Indeed, sir.
I am definitely cooking one tonight.
You could have it with eggs as well, Ellie.
If you do not
have pumpkin or red bhaji, we love it with our eggs.
You're doing this deliberately just to keep our taste buds moving.
Absolutely.
Scramble eggs into the mince, you know, there's nothing tastier than that.
That sounds amazing.
It's just been an absolute sensation. A reminder, of course, the web address to go to simplybeefandlamb.co.uk/chemo. Of course, delighted that you mentioned the red tractor sign there. When we often work with ladies in pigs, they talk about the importance of the red tractor, and equally red tractor lamb, vital from that point of view. Cyrus and Pervin, have you both had a reasonably interesting telephonic link with us this morning? Has it been okay for you folks?
It's been great. And exciting, and now you left me with a quandary, actually, which is a good sign.
I'm so sorry. I am going to send that to you. Because
yes, madam.
If that's okay, I'd...
We will get that sort of thing. I can see William Sitwell sort of currently playing cricket in the joys of Zimbabwe, thinking, yes, it's this is the legend that sort of our food sort of aspects relate to. So will you both be kind enough to return in the near future, Cyrus and Pervin?
It'll be a pleasure. Yeah, we'd love to.
Hey!
It's been lovely to meet you.
Lovely to speak to you as well. Many people tell you that they're your friend. Believe them, you need them. Watch on the river bend. Sure that you're receiving the signals they send. Cause brother, you've only got two hands to lend. Maybe there's someone who makes you mean. Some nights luminous can be.
It's the Midweek Drive Morning Edition on Siren 107.3 FM with Alex Lefchuk and Hannah O'Brien.
Well, actually, it's Ellie Sample. Never mind, it's all part and parcel. It's the enthusiasm that always impresses me. Isn't that right, Graham Harper?
I think so.
So there we were a few days ago at Manchester Metropolitan University for the first ever Starburst International Film Festival. It's nice to see the editor of Starburst, Jordan Royce, was very complimentary in our coverage of the event, which, of course, if you haven't already downloaded, you can download and listen to at your leisure, Graham, and see all those sort of things. I've already demonstrated to Ellie the photographs of some of the characters that we had there. Did you enjoy the package yourself?
I did. I thought it was run really well. It was a very, very good festival.
Yeah. And, of course, Graham actually gave a live DVD commentary with Ace producer Phil Collinson and Charlie Ross on a fantastic episode of Doctor Who, which, of course, was Doomsday, where Billy Piper says, "Farewell, I'm off on a windy Cardiff beach to do my own career. Goodbye, David Tennant." I know that was the motivation you secretly put into place, Graham, but it can be revealed. It's a decade ago. And life continues. And, of course, Graham these days also has the role of superheroic director because he flies at a whim from the British wonderful world of London through to Ireland just because a director just effectively falls ill and Graham is called in to do so. It's fantastic. It's brilliant. Ellie, any questions for the Harpermeister?
Oh, gosh, there are so many different questions. I mean, what do you think is the best film around at the moment?
The best, sorry?
The best film around at the moment, Graham. What would you go and see this weekend?
Oh, wow.
I mean, there's Swallows
and Amazons. We can come back to that. So, well, obviously, it's as far as for Holby City, Evermore, Casualty, Hollyoaks, Coronation Street, House of Anubis, Danny's House, and Doctor Who. And that's just this century, of course,
and
Sarah Jane Adventures.
I have to say, Holby City, my favourite of all time, absolutely fantastic. Although, whatever happened to Anton Mayer? I loved Anton Mayer, best character ever on TV, and I think he was one of yours, wasn't he, Graham?
No, Anton Mayer.
Yeah, was that? He was one of the early doctors in Holby. I thought he was yours. Was he not?
No, I'm sorry, I don't remember working with him at all, that character.
In fact, we could use that as a title. Whatever happened to Anton?
I've failed you miserably because I can't recommend a great film at the moment. Not because I can't, because
I feel that my questions have failed.
Don't worry about
that. No, not at all.
Here we are. Holby City, you started with Break in 2013 and went to recently 2016 from Bournemouth with Love. When you've got a title like that, what's not to appreciate? From Bournemouth with Love. Cold Heart, Warm Hands. Nice. Yeah, as opposed to Cold Hands, Warm Heart, which was an episode of The Outer Limits with William Shatner a few years ago. Easily confused, and I'm sure, Graham, you were sort of thinking, what would William Shatner's acting have been like if he was doing Cold Heart, Warm Hands, as opposed to Cold Hands, Warm Heart? It was about an astronaut who came back from Venus and he was feeling the cold. The Win, 2014, Friends Like You, If I Needed Someone, The Journey Home and Break.
So what was your favourite episode, Graham?
Of
Holby.
Of that Holby City.
Sorry, I thought I was thinking of Star Trek. Wow, I did one several years ago where Hugh, whose character's name has gone right out of my brain completely, was having lots of strange delusions about himself, etc. And there was a strange dream sequence in it. And I was surprised that the BBC, well, not BBC, but the Holby producers would go into that strange, surrealistic world. And they did, and it was fantastic for me to be able to have an opportunity like that.
Was that The Journey Home? It was The Journey Home. Just sort of pull those ears. It's wonderful having the device.
You know
of the
everything,
Alex. No, it's all thanks to the internet.
It's really frightening.
It is. He's amazing. He's really good. Did you have a good time together at the weekend?
We didn't see very much of each other. I know that Alexius was really busy, because it wasn't about me, it was about many people. Oh. So your work was cut out, I think, mate.
Well, hopefully we got a nice little split from Peter Beale and Star Wars right the way through to your good self, Graham, and, of course, Bernadette. Sadly, we couldn't stick around for Inside Number 9, which presumably went equally well when you were presenting that in the evening.
Well, I know that Steve Pemberton and Adam...
Shearsmith?
He wasn't there, I'm afraid. Oh. Reese wasn't around because I think he was rehearsing something, so he couldn't come to that. We were all anxious that it would be successful, obviously, because it's an oddball episode, this one. Well, they're all oddball, but this was unusual because they wanted to do a copy of a production, a style of production that was done in the 70s in the way it was shot with a multi-camera studio using equipment of the 70s. And we were lucky that the equipment held up because we had at one point a huge electrical breakdown of one of the cameras, which left us a little bit sticky, but we survived and managed to get through. The audience was extraordinary. They didn't know quite what they were watching for about 5 minutes, and then it really hit in, and it made people laugh. Because there were some wonderful, silly moments of a strange sort of acting that was done in that period, mm-hmm. On those kind of Tales of the Unexpected styles of shows. It was quite extraordinary how it was caught on to, and memories kind of kicked in, I think, for a lot of people.
I think that's the thing about you, though, Graham. You've done so many amazing different things. You've crossed so many different cultures and brought them all together, and you know, you're sort of like a...
Quite simply, Ellie, as it says there, a legend in TV directing. I mean, Graham Harper, synonymous with Doctor Who, having directed the series in both the classic era and after the 2005 return, also helmed episodes of The Sarah Jane Adventures, Biker Grove, House of Anubis, and, of course, you did the crash scene in Coronation Street, which hopefully we'll actually put yourself and Phil Collins in together, because that surely has to be a DVD live commentary that needs to be done, yourself and Phil Collins, and the train crash for the anniversary of Coronation Street.
But every one of them loved by the nation.
Of course.
I really hope you're right. I hope that's true.
And I'll say this, Ellie, because Graham's also offered, if we can negotiate this in some way, shape or form, to do a masterclass for some of our students as well.
Oh, gosh, yes. Yes, yes. Please come. Please come. The students will learn so much. I mean, you know, there's every single thing that you do is successful. I suppose the best question I could ask you is, how do you do that?
I don't know. Well, I don't know that everything's successful, because sometimes, no matter how hard you all work on a production, if it ain't right, it ain't right. And so, you know, every director has suffered those kind of programs or films or whatever. But you have to use that as your experience. You move on and don't let it make you feel inadequate in any way whatsoever. You just have to carry on. And I think I've always had a love of what I've done. Not what I do, but of being in the business and working and actually having people give you opportunities to do everything you do. And I think this is for life anyway. Everything that you do, it doesn't matter what you learn as you go along, you're always learning. Something comes up in every production I do that I go, I've never done that. I never knew that. I've never done that before. And you learn something every time. And if you don't, something will kick you up the bottom and send you flying. You just have to be aware that things can change suddenly, and you just have to adapt. And I think that's true of life anyway.
Yeah, there's always change, and I think that's a good lesson for our students here at Lincoln, that adapting to the challenges that you're given is the best way of success. But is there any other sort of secret tip that you would share in terms of...
The most important thing in production is planning. For me, when I read a script, I don't know why I'm gifted with this, and the gift is given. This is not one I've you just get lucky. Oh dear, I get so excited. If you plan very, very carefully what you're going to do and how you're going to go about your production, and plan the shots, the way you're going to... When I read a script, I see immediately as I read the scenes, I can see, even though I don't know the sets, I haven't discussed anything with a designer or a producer, I know what I think that should look like and how it should feel. I'm talking about the overall, the way a performance can really drive a scene. And I try and capture that, and also work with actors to achieve that. I never tell an actor what I think he should do. I try and nurture them into him and her. I nurture them if I have to, and very often I don't have to do anything, into helping the way something might go that is lacking drive or fun or a giggle or a secret emotion that is lurking in the background behind the, so that when they walk into a scene, they're thinking something else other than that scene, and that scene hits them afresh with the feelings they've had because of something that happened the week ago or the day before or whatever.
Do you find it goes wrong if you let go of some of that control?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yes. It's not control. I don't know. The control's the
vision.
It is the vision. If you wing something, I've done this before. This is dead easy, and it'll kick you up the backside. You will have a problem, and it's just happened to me in a production I've just done. And fortunately, I overcame the moment. But you just think, do you know, I was cool there. I came in thinking this is going to be such an easy day. I'm going to enjoy this, and although I enjoyed the moment, you learn something, and I think it's experience that allows you just to be able to carry on and not let it hit you in the back. God, I'm being a bit rude here. you just have to move on and not let anything get you down. Actually, just use it.
Graham, as you're well aware, the amount of rehearsal time we put into these programmes, I mean, the hours and hours we actually spend, we never take any of the Midweek Drive...
The planning.
Exactly.
So we're here till midnight.
Structured, Lord above, you know.
No, but you do. You sent an itinerary of your day's the plan for your show to everybody that's going to be on it, so they know where they're going to come on. Now, of course, somebody lets you down or talks too much and it's too exciting that you can't let them go, and so the next person may not be available to you.
We negotiate. That's the important thing. We negotiate. I mean, look, it's Arthur McKenzie who's up next. He's a very forgiving soul, effectively, as you know. I mean, you introduced us to Arthur in the first place. Good heavens. You know, we really should celebrate over 30 years of working together, Graham. One of these
we do, absolutely. Well, I celebrate that with you. Definitely.
Exactly. Well, coming up shortly, hopefully, Harper and Lefchuk at the Harrogate International Flower Show. Now, that's got to be a show that's just waiting to actually take place. So, back end of September, details to follow. Ellie, would you like to put those last two questions to Graham Harper, BAFTA award-winning director, please?
Well, I'm going to cheat a bit. So, the iconic Graham Harper, I'm saying, will you come and do a masterclass for our students here at the University of Lincoln, please?
I would really enjoy that. They have to ask questions, though. Many questions.
They do ask a lot of questions. They want to learn and they want to be successful. And have you had a reasonably nice time with us today?
I have very much. Thank you very much.
It's been such a delight to meet you. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Ellie.
Sense the word, but when we actually find that electricity is being stolen and it could well be fueling the drug trade, you might sort of think, well, what is going on with the world and so on? A new Freedom of Information request by Direct Line for Business reveals that in 2016, almost a quarter of police investigations into the illegal abstraction or theft of electricity were linked to indeed to the drug trade. Now, to address this issue and indeed share some of the thoughts and possible preventative measures that can be addressed to combat this material, we're delighted to welcome the head of Direct Line for Business, Nick Breton, to the studio. Nick,
good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
Fine, thank you.
This surprised me because, I mean, you don't really think necessarily about electricity as being something you can actually steal, but clearly you can. You
Absolutely, know. That's right. Yes, at Direct Line for Business, we do undertake research into all sorts of aspects of the landlord market to help landlords understand the benefits, but also the risks and the costs of renting out property. And this one got our attention because, as you say, how do you steal electricity? It's not always as clumsy as sticking some wires into a street lamp outside and drawing it from there. Quite often, tenants will use the meter inside the property to bypass recording of electricity and steal electricity kind of at source, as it were. They'll damage the casing, they'll get into the casing, they'll install additional wires to the meter, etc. And this isn't just kind of just to keep the television and the video going. This is quite often to fuel heavy usage activities such as the production and cultivation of cannabis, which itself relies upon heat and UV lamps on the go all the time in order to grow the cannabis.
And clearly the character that we see in the commercials of Winston is somebody you wouldn't want to mess with in any way, shape or form.
That's right.
As far as stealing electricity and so on is concerned. But is the best way to obviously just double check that things are there? Because presumably this could actually happen from the perspective of somebody being tampered with without necessarily people realising that indeed their electricity was being stolen.
Well, that's right. I mean, there are sometimes neighbouring properties are affected if electricity is being illegally abstracted from, you know, from a property. So homeowners themselves need to look at their own bills and just check that actually they're being charged for what they're being used, because illegal abstraction of electricity can affect neighbouring properties. Mm. But there are other telltale signs as well. So, for instance, the landlords, if visiting properties every so often to visit tenants and make sure that everything is as it should be, should have a look at the meters as well, make sure that the casing hasn't been tampered with or damaged, that there aren't additional wires attached to the meter. And there are other indicators of cannabis production, which is commonly associated with theft of electricity, such as windows blacked out or silver duct tape hanging out the windows and so on. So there are a number of things which vigilant landlords and property owners should be on the lookout for, because this is something which is on the rise, and it's something which is across the whole of the UK as well, not just in the big conurbations.
In a few weeks' time, students will be making their way back to universities across the base. A lot of those will be taking up tenants' accommodations and landlords and so on. Is this something else that students as well need to be aware of, so they can actually inform their landlord if they do suspect that their meters have been tampered with?
Yes, that's right. I mean, really, not just students, but anybody in rented accommodation should be kind of vigilant to this sort of abuse. It's quite often rented accommodation, not just student accommodation, but any rented accommodation which is often used for cannabis production, because would you want to kind of damage your own dwelling place and smash up your own ceilings and walls, etc., to install a cannabis farm? Probably not. It's something which people will tend to do in rented accommodation. So students and all sorts of people need to be aware that there may be co-tenants or people in neighbouring rented accommodation who may be undertaking this sort of activity.
Is this a growing problem? I mean, are we actually seeing it sort of beginning to increase substantially?
Yes, our research shows that over the last 2 years that there's been an increase of nearly 40% into investigations of theft of electricity by police. So hundreds of investigations in each of the Greater Manchester Police Area, West Yorkshire Police Area, Merseyside Police Area, but also some of the smaller areas as well, not necessarily just big cities. So it is a problem across the UK, and we heard this morning of a drugs bust in Bray in Berkshire, which is, you know, quite an affluent area where rented accommodation was being used as a cannabis farm. So it is widespread, and it's on the increase, unfortunately. And landlords and owners of property like this, which has been rented out, need to be aware of the risk. It could happen to them, and they need to make sure that they're legally covered and that they've got appropriate insurance to basically pick up the cost of malicious damage, which is often caused by these activities.
It's interesting to find that a Leicester landlord was awarded more than £14,000 after tenants used their home to grow cannabis.
That's right.
Is this something which is kind of come across from America? Is it something that we've seen in other European or Western developed countries? I'm just intrigued in terms of the sort of the notion of the sort of system that's actually there.
Well, wherever there is demand, then there will often be supply. And you're right, some European countries and probably some American states have got more liberal rules about cannabis consumption. And so as people move around the world, then you know, where there's demand, then quite often supply will follow. And as I say, it's quite often rented accommodation which is used for this sort of activity, and landlords need to be increasingly aware of the risk.
I think you mentioned a few of the signs there, including a damaged or missing casing on the electricity meter, additional wires on the meter, a pay-as-you-go meter reading zero when electricity is still available, and of course burns or melting marks
right.
on the casing. Folk who are listening to this, and there might be tenants, there might be landlords and so on, is it best to go to the direct line for business business website? Is there another website? What's the way to sort out final information if they're wishing to chase this up further?
Well, if landlords or anybody else has suspicions that this sort of activity, either theft of electricity or cannabis production, is ongoing, then they should inform the police. But for further information, we do have some on the Direct Line for Business website. People can go on there and they can search for malicious damage articles, etc., which will give a bit more information. But it's not just our own website, of course. People will find plenty of material, I'm sure, if they Google. They'll find plenty to read about this sort of activity.
Well, certainly you're always aware of actually tapping into cable TV services and various other factors, but tapping into electricity for this is a whole new scenario. Almost welcome to the 21st century. Nick,
That's right. It's been
fantastic sharing some thoughts with yourself today. Many thanks, and hopefully we'll at least, having raised the issue, begin to start putting a stop to it. Nick Merton, head of Direct Line for Business, many thanks indeed.
Thank you, you're welcome.
And thanks to Nick for stepping into the Kunai Gap, whatever Arthur McKenzie actually left. Just as Graham Harper said, what do you do when people aren't around? Well, you have an ace substitute all ready to come off the bench and do marvellous things. Ellie, there's a whole heap of other good news aspects about the University of Lincoln that you'd like to share. Where do we start?
Well, we should probably start with graduation, shouldn't we? Because that's next week when we'll have 3,000 final year students who will graduate as the class of 2016. And that's 4 days of ceremonies, as you know, at Lincoln Cathedral, and I know you often come along to those.
And the chance to actually see the managing editor of Siren, Andrew David, doing his stuff as well.
He does a bit
extraordinary.
A bit of presentation.
Oh, a little bit of presentation. It's like Bruce Forsyth meets Larry Grayson. It's astounding.
So. He is very talented. We've got some amazing honorary graduates this year. We've got Jürgen Mayer, who's the chief executive of Siemens in the UK. We've got the politician and human rights campaigner, Ella Gandhi, who you may know is the granddaughter of Mahatma Gandhi. In addition, we're going to be celebrating some great teaching at the University of Lincoln, and that's through the Vice-Chancellor's Teaching Award. So Professor Mary Stewart will be presenting awards to Dr. Nicola Crewe, and she's from Life Sciences, Dr. Roger Bretherton from Psychology, and Dr. Helen Smith from History and Heritage, and also Henya Palachi from International Business. So some really exciting things going on with graduation next
week. And
let's
give a plug to Julie Corden, because she works her little backside off.
Julie
day in, day out, but particularly during graduation
terms. She's our head of events, for anyone who doesn't know. She's tiny. She's petite.
I wouldn't say she's small, but perfectly formed. That's
she's
an official
beautiful.
Line.
She's absolutely beautiful. She makes me look like a troll next
no.
to her. She does.
No,
I think
it's a bit like Batman and Robin. Sort of that's the sort of line from that perspective. But
what a fantastic lead-in, because that takes us straight through to Batwatch.
Exactly. See what we did there, you know? Clearly.
You are such a professional. Do you want to mention Batwatch?
I think you should talk about Chris Packham and what he's going to be doing on this fine day, because he's not going to be dressing up, I don't think, as the Caped Crusader.
That would be quite good. I can imagine Chris Packham as Batman. He is so tall. Mm. He would make a good Batman. But he's not being Batman. What we're hoping to do on the 30th of October is actually go out and look for bats. So we've got some bat detectors, which apparently are electronic devices. And we're going to have some local schools, I believe, and some of our students. And
in previous coverage programmes that we've done of the Lincolnshire show, of course, they've had special bat sections there. And they're a lot smaller than you actually think, some of these bats, actually. But they're very good in echolocation and all the rest of the bits and pieces there.
They're beautiful. Bats are absolutely beautiful creatures and obviously hugely protected. Well, and it's a fabulous insight into the ecology of a region. And if you have bats, it's a really positive thing.
Not just in the Belfry.
No.
One or two of our listeners occasionally sort of complain of that, but that's okay.
And then finally, I should probably say that we've got three new buildings which will be completed this year. There's the Isaac Newton building, which is for engineering, computer science, maths and physics. We've got the Sarah Swift building for psychology, health and social care, and Signet Wharf, which is our new student accommodation. So lots going on at the university as per usual. And I should have mentioned, actually, the reason we need those new buildings is it's our biggest intake of new students in our history. We've had a record number of applications this year, and we're expecting more than 3,500 undergraduates to join us following the success of A-Level Results Day. Our students did incredibly well, and we're really excited. We've got some of our best students ever coming to join us.
And one of them, of course, we heard earlier, the sister of Tessa Snart, Lois Snart, being just one of that 3.5 hours, which is fantastic stuff.
We can't wait to welcome her. She's going to love it here. It's a fantastic place.
Thanks to Tessa Snart, Richard Fitzwilliams, Ian Lennox, Rosemary Smith, Cyrus Todiwala, OBE, and wife Pervin, of course, Graham Harper and Nick Breton, and your good self, Ellie Sample, Director of Communications, Development and Marketing at the University of Lincoln, for the last couple of hours. Have you enjoyed the programme, Ellie?
Alex, it's been fantastic, and I have to thank you. I have to thank you. You are absolutely the very best at this.
We're still to come. We've got some great music. Plus, of course, the delights of Kai and Maisie doing the Squawkle Box programme between 11 and 1. As we mentioned, Peter Hayward back with Drive Time between 5 and 7. And then, actually, I do make a cameo appearance just after 7 o'clock this evening on Sound and Country Vision. So that's coming through as well.
I'll be listening.
Fine. And thanks to the listener as well. That's it. The first Midweek Drive Morning Edition on the 1st of September 2016 is about to dock back into port. Would you like to say farewell or au revoir, Ellie Sample?
Goodbye, everyone. Thanks for listening.